panorama of your mind is full of high-rise cities and towns, vast rail networks, tall cranes, large new riverside developments, as well as pathways and roads, all within the sound of a holy war. Welcome to Dave Gilpin's Mind Map.
I am a prayer. In haste, I was put together at approximately 10:03 yesterday morning. There's nothing in my appearance that would attract you to me. I'm not like Beckham, more like Rooney. I have no rhyme or rhythm, no punctuation, no onomatopoeia, no cutting edge, and I've got no mojo. I'm half-baked. Each word held together simply by the string of a sincere heart of the one who prayed me into existence. As I look around, I can see that I'm not alone. Other prayers, just like me, gather in little clusters across the room, while others shoot up like disappearing rockets into the air above. Some linger, some evaporate, some fall, yet many move swiftly to a destination we all know to be real and magnificent. I am a prayer of hope. My mission, to arrive safely at the throne of grace and to ask if I can be granted a favor from the King. No one knows, neither my sender nor my associates, if I'll be answered completely or incompletely. Yet as a prisoner of hope, I have an obligation to attend the hearing and wait for heaven's reply. Within me, somewhere within me, is a feeling of deja vu, a feeling that I've been prayed about many times before. Apart from a similar string of words lying motionless on the bedroom floor, I'm convinced that clumsy as I am in fact a living expression of a living word of faith originating from the Father's heart. I am what they call a prayer request. The heart that bore me is what they call a believing heart. Sometime prior to my birth, this ordinary heart had received through the post some important documentation regarding the will of God. It was during a time of trial and contain no specific details about me, but it did contain a promise about God's ability to provide when all other rivers of provision had completely run dry. Between 10:01 and 10:23, I was one of many prayers being born by the one who created me. I watched as some just dropped to the ground like dead weights in water. They were the prayers of self, self-pity, self-justification, and self-centeredness, reflecting the raw emotion of my sender's soul. They were, however, only the minority. One by one, other prayer requests came over to join me, each one as hastily and speedily put together as the one before. And yet together we hovered, gently rising and gently falling in the atmosphere of faith and fury that surrounded us. suddenly a jolt came from underneath us and we were thrust upwards and forwards toward our destiny, the throne of grace and mercy in our time of need. We were being lifted by what could only be described as multitudes of wings, flapping their way higher and closer toward the throne. I was soon to discover that these wings were also prayers, the prayers of praise and thanksgiving, and the prayers of worship. They were also known around about the place as the Hallowed Be Your Name prayers, sent to big up the character of God and all of his activity over the earth in recent times. It became clear that my sender was following a pattern of prayer set in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Suddenly, we all became aware of a tangible wind of peace that transcended all understanding, blowing past us, resting deep within the heart and mind of the one who sent us. It was obvious to us all that this wind of peace must have contained an assurance, not so much of all prayers being answered, but all prayers being heard and listened to by the Father of lights. The heart that bore me was happy to send me, even if God's ways proved a little higher and God's thoughts a little wiser than his own. Upon arrival at the throne of grace, we were broken up into two groups. The prayers of hope to the left, and the prayers of faith to the right. The prayers of faith went straight to the head of the line to receive precisely what they requested. They knew that if they asked, they would receive. If they sought after, they would find. And if they knocked, the door would be opened. I noticed that even before the request was given by the prayer of faith at the throne of grace, the answers were already waiting, boxed up, wrapped up, labeled, just waiting for the request to be received. For every prayer, there was already an answer. Yet within the queue, the prayers of hope, of which I was a representative, far outnumbered the prayers of faith. It was obvious that while they'd been sent with a direct promise that they would get exactly what they asked, we had not. We all came from a heart of faith and a believing heart. We were both sent to the Father's throne, yet our destinies were divided. Amongst us all were prayers of transformation, requests that God would break habits, that God would change our ways, that God would release the victory of Christ into our hearts and minds. Queuing up were prayers of influence, that God would influence the lives of others at work, in college, in the city, in the church, and in the community. But there was also huge numbers of prayers of blessing, requests for finance, friends, abundance, health, and prosperity. Some of these were prayers of faith, some prayers of hope, but all rising from real belief and real conviction. Some of us were just five words irregularly stuck together. Others were like a game of Jenga, words stacked messily and awkwardly on top of each other. Yet all of us would be granted a hearing before our God. Suddenly, as we waited, we all felt like we were being stormed by an invasion of paratroopers landing all around us. Emblazoned on one half of their parachutes were the words, "Thy kingdom come," and on the other half, the words, "Thy will be done." They possessed a boldness and a stubbornness that I had never seen before. Each claimed their right for the kingdom of their earth to be replaced by the kingdom of their God. These were the prayers of declaration that stood alongside and with the prayers of petition. Even though these declaration prayers were at times loud and menacing, they were dwarfed by the sheer size and magnitude of the throne of God. Even every one of heaven's windows and doors and pallets and crates reduced even the strongest of these prayers to mere mortal endeavor. As the prayers of hope gathered at the throne, we saw some get instantly exchanged for almost all that they requested. In my case, it was not to be. As I stood, however, before the throne of grace, about to take my place immediately before the Father of lights, I felt a presence around me. It seemed to know something that was far beyond the knowledge of my sender. Even though faith had sent me, I could feel myself being read, being adjusted, and being changed by this presence that accompanied me. I was born in haste, yet this presence, this Holy Spirit, was not. It hadn't just arrived, it had been sent. Sent to readjust every prayer prayed in sincerity, to conform every prayer to the will and purpose of God. My sender kind of knew this would happen. It was all a part of the greater plans of God. The Spirit would help us in our weaknesses. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27 says so. For we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. This was all part of the plan. I would be launched in hope and gazumped by heaven. The Holy Spirit would alloy the tin of my prayer with the platinum of His will. He would become my intercessor, my go-between, the great interpreter, my editor-in-chief, my ghostwriter. I looked around to see the wing-like prayers of praise and worship, the paratroopers of declaration, and the common workers of the prayers of petition and request. However, I looked behind me to see the intercessor, the Holy Spirit, His presence towering over us, guiding us into all truth and godliness. I was before the Holy Spirit came along, a prayer for shoes. Not just any pair of shoes, but walking boots. I was to submit the request form at the throne of grace to enable my sender to walk across the Derbyshire Dales with two old school friends who had recently been in touch. Financial difficulties, the credit crunch had called me to action. The shoes would create a bridge of friendship upon which the love of God could easily be shared. But to no avail. The shoes never showed. The plans to go walking never succeeded. The connection was never made. Within a week, however, the financial situation was made even worse by my sender's car failing its MOT, leaving him to catch the number 42 for an entire month. On the last day of his travels, his eyes glanced across at the paper the woman next to him was reading. The instructor's job immediately caught his attention, and he scribbled down the number before the page was turned. He got the job. Within a month, two staff members had made his church their home. And both of them began to assist in the church's mercy home for young women brought low by life's misfortune. It was there that they both led two other women to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I prayed for shoes. The Holy Spirit turned me around, and I became a prayer for a new job and a change of career. If it wasn't for me, even though misguided and misdirected, there would be no change, no new job, no extra help for the mercy home, and no new girls won to Jesus Christ. I may be half-baked, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, I am the key to your future. If you pray, somehow, God, your God, will answer.
Thank you for listening to this CD. For more resources from Pastor Dave Gilpin, log on to www.hopecitychurch.tv/shop.